97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you, bunch of infidels. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I appreciate that. I'm wearing my infidel t-shirt this morning from my friends over at Whiskey Dickerson in honor of all the infidels in the world. On this 7th, October 7th, which of course is the one-year anniversary of the terrorist attack on Israel by a bunch of crazies. And here we are a year later. A lot of them are dead, but not nearly enough. And you've got a lot of interference by the Biden administration to letting Israel take care of business over there. I think that's a real shame. And it's not getting any better. We are going to talk to Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham here at the bottom of the hour. He is alarmed. I'm sure he was alarmed by the Nazis who were protesting on the overpass this weekend, because he's seen the anti-Semitism that has taken place in this country and continues today, 12 months after Israel was victimized by these terrorists. There's still people out there protesting. There are going to be protests all over the country today, not in support of Israel, but in support of the people that were supporting the terrorists. It's absolutely nothing you could have imagined would have happened in the United States in this day, but that's what's going to happen today. So we're going to continue our coverage of that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. Next hour, we'll get to our buddy Tom Ackerman, talk about the Mizzou meltdown over the weekend. I'm sorry, I may have missed this, Kim St. Ange, but did you mention how far Mizzou fell in the football rankings this week?
No, I did not.
Why not?
You know, it's like salt.
Some bias on the part of my Mizzou.
It's like salt in the wound. Okay, first of all, we never should have been ranked as high as we were. We all know that that was not. No one really thought Mizzou was a top 10 team. I'm sorry, I did not. Okay, it was very exciting.
Your name is Kim St. Ange, everybody.
It was very exciting, but I'm not that surprised that we already have lost to Texas A&M. And I'll stop there. Okay, we got crushed by Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I said enough.
I just wondered why nobody had mentioned that, but we'll get to Tom Ackerman and talk about that. Honestly, I feel bad for Mizzou. That was a rough game, but a lot of big teams got upset on Saturday. So Tom will have that at about 8:35. Right now, though, I want to get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You claimed you were in Hong Kong during the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre when you were home in Minnesota. Can you explain that?
So I think what happened is I went to Epcot.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live trying to be funny again. How about that? I don't know if you saw it or not, but that Tim Walz spot was a pretty good one.
States like Georgia force women to cross the border, and then we have a death of Amber Thurman. So let's be very clear. Trying to cut hairs on an issue on this is not where the American public's at.
Yeah, Shannon Bream did the job that two moderators at CBS couldn't do in fact-checking Tim Walz this weekend.
So what our opponents have never understood is that this movement has never been about me. It's always been about you. It's been about a lot of people, millions and millions of people.
Thank you. Donald Trump with a fantastic turnout this weekend and a couple of speeches that he gave. One there in Butler, Pennsylvania, the site of his attempted assassination. And the crowd was impressive, no doubt about it.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
60 Minutes snatched a rare interview with the Democratic presidential nominee. This is kudos, hats off to 60 Minutes, because it's really tough to get Kamala Harris to sit down for an interview. But they did it. Now, I'm not quite sure you would describe them as not unfriendly territory
No.
for her. But nevertheless, the word salad is going to be impressive.
She sent Tim Walz to do her dirty work. She probably can't handle Fox News. And that's why she sent Tim Walz to go be on CBS Sunday Morning with Shannon Bream. And it, what we, what I would have, what did I say?
You said CBS Sunday.
I'm sorry. I said, yes, I'm sorry. It's Fox. Mm-hmm. And what we thought would play out is exactly what played out. And that is that she fact checked him.
Yeah. She fact checked Tim Walz. I'm going to get to that for you in a second. First, I want you to hear her answer, her non-answer to the question, do you consider Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, on the anniversary of the worst terrorist attack in the history of that country, do you consider him an ally? Listen to her non-answer.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
I hope that he followed up and said, but the question I want answered is, do we have an ally in Benjamin Netanyahu? Yeah, I wouldn't. She shouldn't get away with that.
The question that I want answered is, Madam Vice President, one of you, the predecessor that you want to be president of the United States, one of your predecessors, Barack Obama, actively engaged in trying to get Benjamin Netanyahu defeated in an election in Israel. In other words, the United States knowingly dabbled in the election of Israel to try to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu in the past. Do you feel that way? Do you support Benjamin Netanyahu? Answer the question. And don't deflect, because this is important for the American people to know. We are 12 months out from this terrorist attack, and we can't get a straight answer from you. And you can't get a straight answer from Tim Walz. Listen to Shannon Bream trying to do that this weekend. Go to cut one, please, Carl.
You said in a radio interview that anti-Israel protesters were speaking out, quote, for all the right reasons. You know that some of them are carrying Hamas flags. Some of them are calling for the extermination of the Jewish state. Do you want to clarify your praise for them?
Well, I'm certainly not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who understand that we have to end the humanitarian crisis, but they understand we need to return the hostages, bring peace to the region. Look, I will always defend people's rights to First Amendment, but that's not the folks I'm talking about. Those folks are not speaking for the entire group. So I think it's very clear on this. Israel's right, as we've stood with them. Anti-Semitism has no place in this country, and Vice President Harris has been clear about that. I've been clear about it. But the ability to bring a peaceful solution and understand Israel's right to defend itself, the return of the hostages, and Gazans' right to live in peace, too, is something that we're trying to get to.
The Gazans' right to live in peace, too. The Gazans, which would be the Palestinians, harbored these terrorists for the past 20 years almost. Not only harbored them, allowed their children to be completely brainwashed by these maniacs into believing that the only good Israeli is a dead Israeli. That's what they're taught. They knew these people were firing rockets from the roofs of their buildings, and now they're crying when their building gets destroyed. I'm having a hard time finding the empathy there. But there will never be a solution to Middle East peace when you have people like Tim Walz and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the numbskulls that surround that administration claiming there has to be a two-state solution. There is no two-state solution. If our neighboring state here, I'm in Missouri, if Illinois declared that Missouri had no right to exist and continually lobbed bombs into our country, why would we ever recognize them as a legitimate state? You wouldn't. That's the situation in Israel. It's plain and simple. We're going to get to Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham coming up because he knows what's going on here in the St. Louis area, like what the impact it's had here since those attacks a year ago. We're going to talk to him at 7:35. We'll be right back.
Nailing it. Mark Cox.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
All right. I apologize if you're watching on Rumble or X. Drew Young is in the studio, but he's...
I see him.
You see him, but nobody else can.
Ah, okay. All right. So he's here. It's radio, and it's mostly audio, but some people follow us on Twitter and Rumble, and normally we have the cameras working. It's not today. Sorry, Drew.
But this is Real or Fake. Every Monday we do Real or Fake News Quiz. I go through the headlines, make up some of them, and ask the people in the studio if they are real or if they are fake. Last week was Kissing Your Sister Week because it was a tie and no one liked that. So I made it a lot harder this week. So we're just going to go ladies first. Kim St. Ange, real or fake, Leo... I'm changing.
Did you screw it up?
No, I'm changing.
Come on, Carl.
Okay,
all
then.
Right, come on.
Changing this one.
No, no, keep it.
Okay, fine. Leonardo da Vinci was a master perfumer. Real or fake?
What does a master perfumer even mean? Whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say real.
All right, I'm going to go real on that one.
Mark, I'm going to go fake on that one.
It's real.
He just knew a lot about
perfume?
Perfume? Like, what, yeah. What makes you become a master perfumer?
He was an inventor. He was a painter.
And people stunk back then, so you needed perfume to cover it up? I mean, I don't know.
Sure. I mean, if you had anything that smelled better than garbage, then people might be considered perfume.
Drew Young, real or fake, platypuses sweat milk. Real or fake?
Let's say fake on that one.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say fake on that, Carl.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
It's real.
I almost said real.
You should have, because then you would have gotten a point.
Well, it's like the every time it's the weird animal things, like they have rectangular pupils. Mm-hmm. And
you always
poop cubes.
Second guess yourself, and you shouldn't do that.
I know.
Is that the plural of
platypi?
That's what I was going to say.
I don't know. I think platypus is the plural of platypus. That'll be for next week when Mark Cox is not here. Speaking of Mark Cox.
Oh, but
a new airline will offer free upgrades if you do not get up during the flight. Real or fake?
I guess I'm going to go with real. That sounds just ridiculous enough that could be real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
Drew Young.
I'm going to go real on that one.
It's fake.
Oh!
Kim St. Ange with a point.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I could do that.
You could not get up?
I could, depending on the length of the flight, I could.
Does that mean you're normally the one who has to get up? Please tell me you're not the one who gets up as soon as the plane lands and you're waiting and you try to cut in front of everybody. Don't be that person.
Those are the worst.
But during the flight, my wife always wants an end seat, like an aisle seat.
So she can get up.
So she can get up a lot. But I don't have to get up a lot. I'm usually pretty good.
You wear your diaper?
Yeah. Depends.
Let's do this one for Kim because she says she doesn't like the weird animal ones. Kim St. Ange. New study shows that cat meows are primarily to communicate with humans, not other cats. Is that real or fake?
I don't know. I guess real.
Drew Young.
Can you repeat that?
A new study, real or fake, cats meows are primarily to communicate with humans and not other cats. Is that real or fake?
That's fake.
Mark Cox?
That's fake.
Kim, what did you say?
I don't know.
She said real.
She said real? Well, she's right.
Oh, okay. There's, well, then,
that's
yes,
not
I said
true.
Real.
I want to see the
yeah,
study.
That's not true.
Because what did they were around before people
yeah,
were?
Exactly.
Well, they didn't have to communicate with people.
They just started meowing. Who studied that before humans got here?
Cats.
The point is, I got the point. Okay,
that's
go ahead, Carl.
That's all Kim cares
Carl
about.
Cheating, okay.
Yes, it's all right. She paid me this weekend.
I know.
I'll give you the rest of it later, Carl. Yeah.
Thank you. Mark brought bagels, but Kim brought cash. All right, so Drew Young, a new YouGov poll shows that 33% of men don't own suits. Real or fake?
I'm going to say real on that one.
Mark Cox.
33%.
33%. A third of all American men do not own suits.
I'd say that could be real.
I'd say real.
It is real. Besides that, 17% of men hate wearing suits, and 28% of men in the United States have never worn a suit.
Okay. You've never been to church or a funeral or, I mean, a wedding?
You've seen weddings? There are a lot of people that don't wear suits at weddings. It always makes me doesn't matter because by a massive victory.
Controversial.
No, she beat you by two. Still. Kim St. Ange, you are our winner.
Thank you.
Those were some tricky questions.
Well,
this
last week it was too hard.
Who knows anything about a platypus?
Phineas and Ferb fans.
Study up, Mark.
Perry the platypus.
Can we fact check Carl?
We should fact check Carl on that one. Yeah.
They sweat milk. I need to look up a video of this.
There was no fact checking involved.
Someone get Margaret Brennan.
Too bad they don't sweat like chocolate milk. That'd
Where's Nora O'Donnell when I need her? She would have fact checked Carl on that one. Shannon Bream did this weekend, for sure. She finally did their job for them. All right, coming up, we will get to Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham to talk about the anti-Semitism, the one-year anniversary of the tragic terrorist attack on Israel. When we come back, stay tuned.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Months ago on this date is when Israel was attacked mercilessly by terrorists. And even today in Israel overnight, they were on alert. There were air raid sirens going off. In the United States today, I'm sure people are on alert as well. There's supposed to be protests around the country, not because of what happened to Israel, but in many cases by people protesting what's going on in Gaza in support of the Palestinians, or I don't know if you carry that one step further, maybe the people who committed the attacks. It's a shame, I think, that a year later we don't seem to have learned anything from what happened. It was awful. We have invited Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham to join us from B'nai Amuna here in St. Louis. And Rabbi, welcome in. How are you, sir?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well, and really appreciate you having me on this morning.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes today. I mean, obviously, it is a solemn day in Israel and for the Jewish people because of what happened a year ago. I try to remind people, if you had to extrapolate that loss of life out in American terms, that would have been over 40,000 people had this happened in America.
Correct. It was the worst atrocity to happen to the Jewish people since the Holocaust. And I think many people forget about the fact that, these were 1,200 innocent souls, civilians, who were brutally murdered and raped, and then another 251 that were taken hostage, of which we still have 101 hostages, in Gaza today being held by Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I mean, even this weekend here in St. Louis, I'm sure you saw the headlines as well. There were people showing Nazi banners on the overpass out at Mason Road at I-64. Those, in my opinion, are the same people. It's the same anti-Semitic trope that you hear from a lot of the people who are supporting what Hamas did.
That's absolutely correct. We've been getting a lot of anti-Semitic incidents from both the right and the left, whether it's the people holding the Nazi flags on an overpass or all of these protests that we've been seeing on college campuses and in other areas around St. Louis and around the world, really, essentially supporting terrorism. It's incredibly disheartening and really frightening that these people are so incredibly ignorant that they would be supporting terrorists. It would be like there being mass protests supporting Al-Qaeda after the 9/11 attack. That's what I would liken it to.
Rabbi, this is Kim. What was really disheartening to me is last school year, when you had thousands of these students who were protesting and, basically calling for the end of Israel, from the river to the sea. And it just seemed like our current administration was more focused on those protesters than they were about protecting the students who the Jewish students there on campus who were hiding in classrooms because they felt their lives were at risk.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you. It was incredibly infuriating to feel like we didn't have any support, right? I mean, here there are Jewish students on college campuses that felt that their lives were being threatened. They were being verbally and physically attacked during these protests at the end of last school year. And, instead of saying we stand with our Jewish students, it was, trying to placate the protesters, of which most of whom, if you watch a lot of sort of the the videos that were done on social media by many different people. Most of the protesters didn't even know what they were protesting, other than just screaming out these anti-Semitic phrases like "from the river to the sea" and "Antifada," which "Antifada" literally, you know, means the rising up and destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. And I think most people also don't realize when you say "from the river to the sea," you mean that you want the destruction of all of Israel, which means all of the Jewish people. I think people are somehow naive to the fact that these protests are not protesting for some peaceful solution. They're protesting for a violent one.
Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham, our guest right now, I want to ask what may be a sensitive question, but I think we need to ask it these days. Do you see a change in the perception of American Jews toward what's going on in Israel? Because I see everyday people that live in Israel, it's natural for them to have to run and hide when they hear air sirens go off. I don't always feel like there's that same sense of urgency on the part of some in the Jewish community in America to be worried about what's going on over there enough. Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question. I actually think, just from my own personal experience, what I've seen in the past year is that the attacks from a year ago on October 7th in 2023 sort of woke up the Jewish community, at least here in America and maybe around the world, that we need to stand with Israel now more than ever because of what's going on a daily basis. Like you mentioned, you know, Israeli citizens are running into bomb shelters on pretty much a daily basis. There's been much more of the sense of solidarity that I think most of the Jewish community has felt, certainly the mainstream Jewish community. And more Jews have been coming back to going to religious services and being part of congregations around the country because there's a sense that they feel like they need to be doing something right now. And so I think there's been more of that solidarity within the Jewish community. I think one of our challenges is we've felt is we feel like we're on an island by ourselves. Where is the rest of the global community to call out these atrocities and sort of stand with us during these anti-Semitic incidents? And the other piece I'll mention is related to all of this, which is, you know, the Anti-Defamation League came out with a story a couple of days ago that there's now been more than 10,000 anti-Semitic incidents in America since last year, since October 7th of last year, as compared with about 200 in 2022, which, you know, if you think about 200 to 10,000, it's an incredible jump in how many anti-Semitic incidents we've been dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark mentioned the air sirens going off. I mean, it seems like it's a daily thing in Israel. But of course, now they're looking at responding to the Hezbollah missiles, right, from last week. And I don't know if you can speak to this, Rabbi, but what do you feel is an appropriate response from Israel?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Israel's been dealing with a multi-front war, really from seven or eight fronts with all these different Iranian terrorist proxies, whether it's Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis, or there's a group in Iraq as well. And, they've been dealing with it on all these different fronts. And then on top of that, Iran decided for the second time last week to directly attack Israel from Iran. I believe Israel has no choice but to respond. No one else would sit back and say, oh, we're going to let close to 200 ballistic missiles come into our country and destroy different areas and not respond to that. Because if we don't respond, then we're essentially telling the terrorists and the Iranian regime that it's okay to keep attacking us. I think any day now Israel is going to respond. I think the appropriate response is to go after both their nuclear facilities, because they're trying to build nuclear weapons, and also go after their oil refineries, because the only way Iran makes money in order to fund all these terrorists is through their oil sales, and that would be a way to sort of cut them off as well.
Yeah, true. I tell you, Rabbi, you have our thoughts and our prayers on this anniversary today, and we pray that Israel can get past this and take out the people, in my opinion, that are causing this problem without any more interference from the U.S. I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Absolutely. No, thank you both so much, and really appreciate your support during this time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Rabbi Jeffrey Abraham there with B'nai Amuna here in the St. Louis area. And, I've expressed my frustration with it repeatedly. The United States has no business telling Israel how to prosecute this. And I would hope that people will vote accordingly. And I don't know how much the rabbi wants to get into the politics of that, but people in the Jewish community, people in every community, in my opinion, need to look at this and say, who am I supporting in the administration in the United States, and how is that administration going to support Israel?
Right, because
that needs to be the question.
You were saying Kamala Harris in the interview that's coming up tonight on 60 Minutes couldn't even call Benjamin Netanyahu an ally.
No.
She dodged the question.
She did. And I think it hints at where she stands on this personally. You need to think that through if you support the Israeli people when you go to the polls in November. There's no doubt about that. Kim, what are we talking about today? Kim,
I don't know if it's just me, but it just seems like so many Hollywood big name actors, everyone, they're all getting really involved in politics. What is going on with that? I found the latest interaction between one of the Hollywood elites with Kamala Harris. You've got to listen to this.
Oh, boy. We'll be right back.
On the Mark Cox Morning Show, Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
First of all, Latina small businesses are the fastest growing in the country.
Yes, they are.
Right, right?
Yes, they are.
But included in that is that we don't lack for people who have ambition and have aspirations and dreams and an idea that is a great idea and work ethic. But not everybody has access to the capital.
So true.
And I believe strongly that our small businesses are the backbone of America's economy. So when we grow and strengthen small businesses, we all benefit.
Oh, there's Kamala Harris talking about everyone's dreams and ambitions with actress Jessica Alba. You know who that is, right, Mark?
God.
Right?
Yeah, I know who she is.
What's up with all these Hollywood stars getting so involved in politics?
They are limousine liberals.
Okay, I understand that this is not new, that these stars decide to get in politics, but it seems like it's been exaggerated this year. Think about that Oprah Winfrey interview that Kamala Harris did that was super weird, and she had all these people on Zoom, and she kept showing all the Hollywood stars, the singers, the actor, actresses that were joining that call, basically being like, yeah, I support Kamala Harris.
Right, right.
They had another one, too, with like Ben Stiller. Well, I mean, a bunch of big-name people have thrown their support behind her.
It's a political correctness. I want to be part of the gang. Hey, liberal producers, look at me. I'm on the left. Hire me for that next role. That's part of what it is. You're blacklisted in Hollywood. We had Robert Davi on here recently. He talked about being blacklisted in Hollywood. If it wasn't for, what is it, Angel Studios or one of the others that does the movies that might be considered from a conservative point of view, they wouldn't have work in Hollywood.
So do you think if someone comes out and publicly supports Kamala Harris, it actually could help their career?
Oh, sure.
That is so insane to me.
But if nothing else, it erases all doubt of where they stand because they've come out and said, hey, look at me. I'm part of Team Harris. Even if she loses, you're a committed member of the left. You're going to be more likely, because there's no way one of these Spielbergs or one of these lefties is going to hire you if they know you support Donald Trump.
That's just wild
to me. They just won't.
I just don't remember this many Hollywood stars coming out in support of a candidate.
It's getting worse and worse. Social media is driving it.
You're right. That probably is a huge factor in all of this, is that it's so easy now to comment on things. And even if you're not publicly coming out and saying that you support, in this case, Kamala Harris, you can see who's liking some of her posts. And you'll see some of those stars on Instagram who are liking her posts. And it's funny because Jessica Alba is getting so much pushback from that because people are saying, well, not only is she wearing a matching pantsuit, but the whole thing was just kind of cringeworthy. And they're like, girl, yeah, Latina businesses.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Did she say it just like that?
Just like, Carl, play it. It was just like that. It's identical.
We didn't have time for it.
Oh, no, darn it. Come on. I didn't hear that. I'm so sorry.
Just take my word. It was basically identical to how she said it.
Just like that.
Pretty much.
Jessica St. Ange there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Coming up, you've heard all of the discussion over FEMA, fake news, but there's plenty of evidence that they've been giving money to illegals in this country. We're going to talk more about that evidence when we come back. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.